Well, hello and welcome to the Voices of Courage show, where we explore what it truly takes to lead with strength, integrity, and purpose in a very rapidly changing world. Hi, I'm Kendi Foster. Today's conversation is the courage to lead with values, because real leadership is not tested when things are easy. It's tested under pressure. It's tested when decisions are costly. It's tested when shortcuts are available, but integrity demands a higher road. In business, leadership, and life, values are not ideals we hang on a wall. They are principles that guide decisions when no one is watching. They determine how we treat people, how we handle responsibility, relationships, and how we stay grounded when authority, success, or power are placed in our hands. Too often, we see leaders confuse control with strength, speed with effectiveness, and results with meaning. But substantial success comes from something much deeper. It comes from the clarity of purpose, of knowing who we are, the discipline of character, and the commitment to serve something greater than the ego or greater than our small self. Leading with values requires courage, and courage to be consistent, courage to make the hard calls, the courage to put people before outcomes and principles before convenience. And when leadership is rooted in values, trust is built. The speed of trust is built. And teams thrive, we thrive, relationships thrive, and our lives get better and better. That's what our show's about today. We're going to really take a deep dive into values. I have one of my good friends and very successful colonels, Colonel Chris Ritchie, is going to be here today. We're going to talk a little bit about what it means to really live a life from 100% responsibility, integrity, and values. So I'm going to take a quick break, and after that, I'm going to have the Colonel on my show. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Kendi Foster, and you are looking at Colonel Chris Ritchie, living in Auburn right now. Chris, welcome to the show.
Ken, it's awesome to be back on the show. I absolutely loved your opening. I mean, I was just like, yes, 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 this is all perfect. What a great message.
And so, thank you, man. It's a message that you've embraced over the years. You've shared with me, and I share it with others. You were my very first guest when I just entered media. You were, and I just started my own show. You were my very first guest. I mean,
that's awesome.
What, 8 years ago?
Can you believe it?
That's crazy.
I'm so honored.
Yeah, I've done hundreds of shows since then, but you've been back several times, and I love it every time you get you back. For those of you that don't know Colonel Chris Ritchie, after graduating from Auburn University in 1992, Chris embarked on a distinguished 30-year career in the United States Marine Corps, commanding at every rank that he held. His service included multiple deployments in support of combat and humanitarian operations, notably Operations Allied Force, Enduring Freedom, Iraq Freedom, and the Marine Corps Commander SPMAGTF for Operation Continuing Promise in 2010. Throughout his career, Chris has served in 20 countries, 10 U.S. states, leading thousands of personnel in both peacetime and war. From 2012 to 2014, Chris served as a diplomatic member of the U.S. Embassy, country team, and military liaison in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, where he oversaw a $19 billion foreign military sales program. Prior to retirement, he served as the chairman of the Executive Steering Committee for the Marine Corps Aviation Command and Control, AC2, a global organization comprising of over 10,000 personnel, while simultaneously commanding the largest AC2 unit in the Marine Corps. Yeah, you got a lot of guys underneath you when I met you, man.
A lot of great teammates, to be sure.
A lot of great.
Number one, what a great run. I'm blessed, to be sure.
You know, you live such a rich life, and you know, that rich life didn't come without a cost and discipline and a lot of things. You know, you commanded really at every rank in the, or many ranks in your 30-year Marine Corps career. So what leadership lessons, you know, stayed with you constantly?
Well, the biggest, I think, leadership lesson is just to really, you have to love people. You have to be passionate about people and for people, and recognizing that we're all in this together. I mean, yes, there's the hierarchy. There's somebody who has to be the boss or the one in charge, but I prefer for that person to be the leader and help see the potential in every single human that they happen to come across, especially those that they're responsible for. So, I guess the leadership principles that I really try to adhere to is to help everybody achieve their full potential and give them the tools and the environment to achieve that. And really, one of my core values is teamwork and doing it together. So there's a whole lot of leadership principles really to go in there. But as I kind of reflect and look back, my focus has always been on people and relationships.
But, you know, my focus over the years is, I really learned what it takes to just quiet and still the mind a little bit, right, every day, a few minutes a day, because that's where insights seem to come to me. My mind's busy going on stress or whatever. It usually shuts down. But, there's another piece that you're mentioning, and that's living from a place, I call it living from oneness. In other words, understanding that we're all connected, and whether you're the secretary or you're the colonel, listen, you got a role to play, but I'm going to treat you with kindness, respect, love, because that's in the essence of you. We're all connected. We're all one here.
I love the way you put that, and that is 100%. I mean, we all have a role to play, but we're all on the same team, and the oneness. Every soul on this earth looks the same. You're right. And it's not the stuff on the outside, but who are we, where our true character is.
Yeah. So, right now you're working as a teacher at Auburn, and I know you're in the leadership, you're teaching in leadership. Listen, we need leaders more than anything in this world today. We've got some fine leaders, don't get me wrong, but we also got some people that really spit out things that hurt people, that harm people, that create people. You know, running around in fear and worry and it's like the blind leading the blind. Chris, how do we create global leaders today, man? Where do we start with that, right?
We need leadership all across the board. And, you know, some statistics and facts are quite remarkable, that the average age of a person in their first leadership role is 33, but the average age for an adult going through their very first leadership development training or program is 47, which is insane when you think about that. So there's this gap. And what we've seen, at least at Auburn University, is people are promoted into these roles of being a supervisor, even global leaders, you know. And as we've seen, is oftentimes if you're really good at something technically, you get promoted into a role being a supervisor now, and there's no training to help you recognize that it's about taking care of people and helping them achieve their potential and giving them the right environment. And like you said, to not be toxic and ugly and mean, but to recognize that we don't have this facade of I'm the boss and you have to do what I say. It's still treating people with kindness and dignity and respect and doing it as a team. And so we have people that just don't know what they don't know. And we have seen such a cultural shift really at Auburn University with this focus on people and relationships and what leadership means and how we can do this together and values at the center of everything that we do. And so it's really just recognizing you're not alone, and there's tools out there to help you.
Well, I want to take a deep dive into the value piece, but I also want to define toxicity, because, you know, you got people out there, you know. Listen, toxicity is really simple. In fact, you know, even our health is simple, right? If you're putting toxic foods in your body, right, you're getting sick, right? It may take a while, but eventually the body will get sick. And it's the same thing, you know, in our world. If you're a leader and you're putting toxicity, how do I define toxicity? Anything that hurts yourself or another human being, that's toxic.
That's it.
And you know, if we're putting that in the world as leaders because of some belief that we have or some ego set of fulfillment that we need to have, or, you know, it does come back on us, because there's something that I know, it's what goes around comes around, call it karma, whatever, but it does come back. But it comes back, you know, not to hurt us. It really comes back to teach us. And I think that's what leaders have to understand, you know, when you're teaching out there. You know, if we're putting toxicity back, it'll come back to you, but you need to learn. You need to take responsibility for that toxicity, learn, grow, and evolve through it so that you don't keep making the same mistakes. But I see leaders, especially on the media, these people keep ratting the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I don't get it.
It is a real shame. I mean, it's been around forever. I mean, in 1954, the cover of the Saturday Evening Post, it was called Transfer of Anger, and it showed a boss yelling at an employee. And the next frame was he went home and he's yelling at his wife for some reason. And then the next frame, she's yelling at the son and the son's yelling at the pet. And it's like, why do we do this to ourselves? You know, why do we need to transfer this anger? Why don't we transfer kindness and love and mentorship? And we could flip the script, you know, and it doesn't take much, because the feelings that we get at work, we're taking home to our families or any other organizations that we're a part of. And thinking of others, and stop letting fear, ego, and pride get into our minds, because that's where good leaders fail.
You know, in the Marines, because I know, you know, and the other branches of the service, you guys look at results. It's like, hey, man, if we're not getting the results we want, we better change our strategy, change our actions, change ourselves, change our thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
True.
You know, it because there's lives at stake, but we don't think of that in the terms of leadership, I guess, as much as we need to.
It's true. Now, with the Marine Corps, of course, we have 250 years of culture to fall back on. And yes, our training, leadership development begins at basic training and officer candidate school, and it continues throughout your whole career. But yes, people would say mission first, people always, you know. But when I became a group commander, yes, leaders have to provide the vision, and they have to ensure that everybody's enabled and ready to accomplish the mission and the job. But I kind of took a little bit of a twist, and instead of standing up and talking about we're going to accomplish the mission, I started to talk about people and relationships, and that nobody's going to come to work wanting to fail. We're all Marines. We're going to succeed, but we're going to succeed by focusing on the people and our relationships and teamwork. And it just made it easier for us. Honestly, the mission was much more simplified when that was our focus. Not to take away the vision and the training and all that good stuff, but the culture is there, and that helps organizations really go far.
The invisible medal. Now, the invisible medal is, I received my invisible medal from you. I might have been one of the first people to receive it. I don't know. Nice. Maybe not, but I know I got my invisible medal, and then you gave me a medal to go with it. And you've written a book around it. So I got to take a break, but when we come back, I want to know about the invisible medal and why this is shifting leadership in the way that leaders think. So we'll be right back, and then we'll talk about the invisible medal.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'll get right back with my guest, Colonel Chris Ritchie, in just a second. I want to mention that if you're on YouTube right now, go ahead and click that subscribe button. And if you're not, you may want to go over there. You can get all of our shows on YouTube, and they're very easy to find. If you just go to youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork to get all of our shows. Hope you'll do that. And by the way, pass them along to your family and friends. Okay, Colonel Chris Ritchie, listen, you don't know about this, but I got this little medal here. I got it from when I was visiting Bobby Kennedy Jr., RFK. And this little medal here says, it comes from the secretary, and it says, make America healthy again. Well, you know, you and I are talking about making leaders healthy again in this world. And one of the things you did to help that, foster that, was you wrote this incredible book. I'm putting it on the screen. It's called The Invisible Medal. It's a beautiful book, a brilliant read, and I commend you on that. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what's in it, and why can some of the leaders here, you know, how they'll, you know, what are the benefits for them?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of stories that's in the book. And the premise is basically the greatest award that we can earn as a human being is the knowledge that we have been significant in somebody's life in some way. And anybody can do this. And in the book, I go through some stories of when I had this epiphany. And of course, we're all driven to succeed. Our society demands success. I mean, we're taught at a young age, whether you're an A student or an average student or below average student, same thing with sports. And so we're driven to succeed, and success is manifested by the medals that we wear on our chest or the awards or the stuff that we have up on our wall, I guess, like you can see behind me here. But, when I received an email from the spouse of one of a Marine who I served with telling me thank you for mentoring her husband to become an officer in the Marine Corps, that's when what I thought about success all came kind of crashing down. And it's not about the medals that we wear or the plaques and accolades that we put on our wall. It's those little moments with a simple appreciation of saying thank you you are significant in our lives in some way. And nobody knows it but you and the person who you are significant for. And that's what I call the invisible medal. And from the moment that I received that first invisible medal, all I wanted to do was receive more emails like that, knowing that I've done something significant for another human being.
Yeah. You know, when you gave me my significant, my medal, my invisible medal, and, you know, to this day, the fact that you were acknowledging me, and it, I remember that moment. Wow. I remember it shifted me inside to a place of valuing myself at a greater level.
I love that. I love it. And anybody can give an invisible medal. That's the point. When I do my keynotes and these talks, I actually make people pause and reflect and think about somebody who did something for them that was significant, and then to text them or email them to say thank you. And Ken, I got to tell you, the number of people who stopped me afterwards and show me the response that they received from the person who they sent a thank you to is, well, it'll make your eyes water. And it's so impactful. So any one of us can give an invisible medal. It's a simple thank you for being significant. This is what it meant to me at this time in my life. And focusing on earning invisible medals, it's just really recognizing that every human has potential. Focusing on life as a stewardship. We're just here for a limited period of time. What are we doing to make it impactful? And then finally, focusing on building meaningful relationships. That's it. It's a simple formula for leaders to use, but every human can give and receive invisible medals if they just follow.
Well, you know, I was, when I first received mine, I was working with a fella that had about 100 employees, mm-hmm. and he was feeling like disconnected from his employees. So I had him follow your method. I just said, hey, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you set your intention for the next 30 days to go and find something that they're doing right and acknowledge every single one of those people in your company. He did that back, and he said, everything is shifted in our country.
Yes, I love it.
Everything shifted. You right? see? He was valued. He valued them, and they valued him at a greater level.
That's
just like
amazing.
That.
Amazing. And the ripple effect is incredible. You know, Alexander the Great, when he was asked by Aristotle, how many is one? He came back the following day and said, one can be a great many. And if you do the math, if we humans focused on just one person a month to do something significant for them in a way that's going to inspire and motivate them to want to do the same for another human being, after 1 year, would you believe that 8,191 people will have been positively impacted just by that one human being taking that approach? Because it compounds and it spreads, and it's infectious. I love it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I practice it every day. I mean, I'll walk into the supermarket and I'll see that cashier that's, you know, maybe not smiling and, you know, been standing on their feet for a while. And I just say, you know, you got such a beautiful smile. Or I'll just say, I'll find something to compliment them about, you know, their name tag. Well, that's a unique name. You know, I just, because, you know, that's how we change the consciousness. You know, years ago, Chris, somebody told me, you know, if you're feeling lousy, go find somebody that's feeling worse than you and put a smile on their face.
There you go.
And there you go, right?
And then you're both smiling.
and that's the invisible medal. But, you know, the reason, you know, that I think the book is so important, because it has your mindset in it. And you have this mindset of leadership, of being able to take command, to be able to be disciplined, to follow through. You know, you got a lot of things in there that a lot of us can use. So, you know, let me ask you this, because I know I asked you years ago why you wrote it, but, you know, now that you have written that and you've seen the results, what is it that has changed you as a result of writing that book?
Yes. When I wrote the original version, it was right before I started to give the talks on the invisible medal. And that's when I just kind of tried, let me ask people to just pause and send an invisible medal. And then one of the folks who was there shared with me a screen capture of what she sent and what she received back. And it kind of profoundly changed me, honestly, because I saw that and thought, this is some powerful stuff. And in fact, I put it in the second edition of my book, well, not second edition, but the preview edition. So what changed me is other people changing me, and really, like what you just shared, reinforcing the message and seeing people not only grow as leaders, but really just grow as humans, and see that these kindness, these acts of kindness, and really focusing on people and making it about others and not about ourselves. It's so fulfilling that it's just been a pleasure to watch and observe and see. So I guess to answer your question, it's made me become an even bigger believer in what I already believed in the first place.
That's good. You know, a lot of leaders, they want to do a good job. I believe that. I believe, you know, they want to do a good job. They want to step up and, you know, train their subordinates or help their subordinates in some way. And they set goals and they, you know, they take classes sometimes. Sometimes they don't, like you said. But at the end of the day, they get these folks that don't necessarily want to follow what they're saying, you know? How do you deal with that? You know, how do you teach people to deal with that?
That's true. And this question comes up a lot, if you could believe it. It comes up quite a bit. And every human is motivated differently, okay? There's books that are out there about, you know, the languages and how we show appreciation, and if they want words of affirmation or gifts or things of that nature. And my response really is always the same. You're not going to know what is motivating people or upsetting people unless you communicate with those people. We call them one-on-ones that we encourage folks to do at least once a month, to sit down and have the conversation. But it really goes to recognition too, because some folks may be going through some difficult times and they're not just going to go around sharing it. They're going to keep it to themselves. So the good leader is going to recognize that and is going to say, hey, what's going on? What can I do to help you? And so really to answer that question is, I find that the folks that are, you know, stiff-arming a lot of that, it's either because they don't feel valued, welcomed, or respected. And the way to overcome that is to have that one-on-one.
Have that
one-on-one. Get one sincere conversation with them.
Yeah. I got to take a break in a second. But you know what? One of the things that I've experienced, maybe you have too, I'll go into to listen to a leader talk. And if they're charismatic, meaning they're authentic, they're real, and they've spoke for a while so they can convey their message and articulate it in a way. A lot of times I'm listening to that, but you know what's interesting that happens with me? Because I'm in that vibration or that presence, I get other ideas. Yes. Other things start coming in, you know? And those are the themes that take me to the next level. So I'm just wondering, I've been wondering this for a while, can we really teach anybody anything? Or is there a part of us that steps into our power and they start remembering what they need to remember to step into the next role? I think there's a little bit of that goes on, man.
Yeah, you just described the Socratic method of teaching. That's exactly right.
Yeah, well, Socrates always comes through me. Of course, you know, I wrote a book called Ask and You Will Succeed.
That's right.
Ordinary questions to create extraordinary results. No. So, yeah, Socrates is always somewhere here teaching that piece. Yeah.
And I love that book. I remember getting that 8 years ago or 9 years ago now as well. But that's what it's all about, honestly, is reflection. We don't spend enough time reflecting and taking that journey inward, and it's really about authenticity. And I'll tell you, here's how you lead authentically. You ready?
Yeah.
Write down your own definition of leadership, not what you read, but how do you personally define leadership? And then really take a deep journey inside and articulate and write down what you believe your core values are. And if you live by those core values and live by the way that you define leadership, you are leading authentically, because we're all different.
Okay, listen, I'm going to put that book up on the screen one more time. It's called The Invisible Medal, and you can get it on Amazon. You can get it wherever good books are sold, so we know that. And I've read that book a few times, Chris. It's a powerful read, so I recommend this to my audience. You just said something, and I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back, but you know, those values, a lot of people have, you know, they'll do the work. They understand what their their highest values are, but they can't live from those highest values mm-hmm. for some reason or another. We're going to address that when we come back. We'll take a quick break. All right.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm with my guest, Colonel Chris Ritchie. Chris, before the break, I wanted to take a little dive into what, you know, people, okay, they do the work, they get included, you know, our highest values or loyalty or discipline or family or God, or, you know, they get clear with what really is matters to them. And then they set intentions or goals around those values, and then they get stuck. What is that?
Yeah. And well, first I would say fear, ego, and pride. When that enters our minds, we kind of lose sight of leadership and values, and it's kind of more on us. But in terms of, we've seen this so many times before, people will say, these are my values. They write them down and then they don't live those values. And if we do that, it's really hard to build trust, honestly. That's how I define leadership. It's a relationship built on trust and consistency of character. That's Chris Ritchie's definition of leadership. So I think to your point, Ken, is it may just be values that they wrote down that they thought sounded good, but it wasn't necessarily the values that they truly believed deep down inside. Well, we only know this from reflection. What do we truly value? And Mahatma Gandhi, he said it best, that we first define our values and then we let our values define us. And so it's constantly tugging on that rope. We anchor our values by defining them. And then when our decisions are made every day, that other rope, it's either let loose or it's tightened tighter and tighter and tighter. And that knot that's in the middle, that's our character. So is our character strong and solid because we're living the values that we've identified in those times that we make decisions, maybe even that nobody even sees, or are we just letting that not get unraveled and then they're not living by anything?
Well, you know, a lot of people chase comfort. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and listen, we all like to feel comfortable. We all like to feel, pleasure. We like to feel good. You know, we all do. But when it comes to this piece, we're talking about the values, my experience has been like, you know, I write down my values. I get it, who I am. I'll set a goal around it. And that's where the growth opportunity is, right? It's like, okay, you know, so we just passed January here, you know, 2026 again. And, you know, 80% of the people that set their goals are they're done after 3 weeks. They're just done, right?
Yep.
Because I believe there's this, you know, and actually I think the mind is kind of programmed that way to avoid pain and, you know, find pleasure. But when we can't go into that uncomfortable zone, when we can't stay there, and I think that's one of the good things about the service. They help people, they put people in uncomfortable positions and they have to stay there. And for better or not, right?
So, you know. That's right.
But eventually, if you stay there, you will transcend the pain of it, the discomfort of it. You will move past it if you're committed to it, and if you really, you know, you wanna do that.
That's right.
You can take a horse to water, they won't drink if they don't want to.
That's a good point, Ken. It's about building habits, right? If you want to get strong, you work out in the gym. If you wanna build those habits of good character, you live up to those values. And sometimes it's hard, right? Because we have to make this conscious choice and the decision and then go with it when it's not comfortable.
No, it's not. It's not comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, you were in Abu Dhabi and, you know, managing a $19 billion budget. You know, I can imagine stepping into that might not feel too comfortable. You know, because you got all this responsibility and what have you. You know, how would you, you know, if a leader is going to step into something like that, I think people doing this all the time, you know, mm-hmm. How did you grow? What did you step into? What did you learn through that? What would you teach leaders that are stepping into big roles right now?
Yes. So
that
I was, you know, you heard, are you the smartest person in the room? Okay. Well, and that, I was the dumbest person in the room because I didn't know any of that program or responsibility. It was a completely different job for me. Thank goodness we were staffed with brilliant people who have been doing this for their entire careers. And so they're the ones who taught me the whole everything about it, honestly. I just needed to not. And what I learned as a leader is to give them the tools to enable them to succeed, which meant it was a lot of what do you need? Who are you meeting with next? What are the issues? What can I do to help you? And that was basically it.
Well, you know, you said something that's really, really wise, and that is that piece where you keep yourself brand new. You keep mm-hmm. yourself a learner, and you know, you just told us, you know, you acknowledge the brilliance that's in the room, and you step into what you just told us, right? You know, step into being significant and acknowledging the brilliance that's there. And it's okay to be the dumbest person in the room, just means that you don't have the experience that they have. But you know, you're the leader. So the leader has to, you know, be very humble, I guess, is what we're saying.
100%. And that I think is one of the top core values for any leader is humility. Shining the spotlight on others, learning and growing from them, not being the one to be, look at what I achieved. No, it's none of that. Look what the team achieved, and being willing to grow and learn, like you just said.
So here's a definition of humility. Okay. Humility is the ability to see reality clearly. Think about that. Okay. Reality. Okay. So humble, you know, it's not eating humble pie. It's being able to see reality clearly, which is what Chris said. I'm walked in. These people have a lot more experience than me. I'm going to honor that. I'm going to step into significance and honor them, talk to them. I'm going to, you know, you're going to step back and see things as they are, not as I want them to be in the moment. But then we can make the changes. That's my guess, Chris.
No, I love it.
Yeah. Is that kind of what went through you or what?
Yes. Absolutely. Because I think this whole thing, it's like a facade that we think we need to put on the armor of what it means to be in charge or the boss or the supervisor that we have to have the answers. Yeah. And it's just not the case. I mean, now Ken Blanchard, I love getting to meet him when we were in San Diego together.
Yeah.
I was, oh yeah. And you know, he would say that no one of us is as smart as all of us. Fantastic quote. 100% true.
I love that.
But it takes the humility to bring out the brilliance in everybody. And then collectively you've got a great plan and a great team.
Well, Aspire Auburn is a process, a class, a method that has already graduated over 1,100 participants. And you're part of this, a big part of it. What are the core principles or the values from your military career did you intentionally embed in this program?
So the core values for Auburn University are now integrity, respect, and commitment to excellence. And you can see a lot of the military values in that. But this one came up primarily from Auburn University's culture and the Auburn Creed, which has been around since the 1940s, and the things that Auburn truly believes in. And so a team was put together that really dissected the creed and what Auburn was all about. And for the first time, really articulated and identified, these are the core values on which we are going to build the foundation for everything that goes up. And with these core values, we added a new performance management system that evaluates employees through the lenses of core values. So we look through the lens of integrity, respect, excellence for all the job responsibilities that our teammates do. And that is how the evaluation has come out. So that then came Aspire Auburn, the leadership development program for everybody, leading self, leading people, leading teams, leading the organization. Day one new hire up to the president of the university, we have a leadership development program for everyone. And we talk about the core values in every one of these levels of leadership. And for supervisors, we inject the leadership principles for Auburn University, which is to empower, enable, encourage, and develop your direct reports. And we go into the leadership development for supervisors on how to do that effectively. And so, in other words, we've identified the standard, our core values. We're trained to that standard, which is all the various leadership development programs. And then we're holding one another accountable to that standard through the end of year performance evaluation.
That's beautiful. I would also suggest it's like, you know, you said it, you know, the creed was there, but we needed to dissect the creed is what I heard you say, and maybe remember the creed and, you know, and maybe even modernize it into a language that people can understand today, and with action around it, because sometimes people create creeds. That's great. But there's, you know, the founding creed members all knew there was action around it, but everybody else forgot that. Now it's just a creed, right?
That's right. And it's there. It is part of Auburn culture. It's engraved in stones. It's in people's offices. I have a copy of it right over there as you go out my door.
Well, what is the creed? I want to know.
It's too long to repeat right now.
Okay,
but and that's probably why we dissected it.
It's probably online. Right? I can get it online.
Oh, you could, but it's all about hard work and human touch and belief in our country, and knowing that education is a foundation to success. And it's just beautifully written. It was George Petrie who wrote it, and it's been a part of our culture ever since.
Wow. I just love our country. I love who we are. I love you, Chris. I love, you know, there's a lot of love in my world today. And it's, you know, a lot of that love comes from the work that I've done over the years and you've done.
It shows.
To understand who we are at a core and who others are at their core. You know, diversity in this country is brilliant. It's wonderful. You know, there are, unfortunately, sometimes the people that get the biggest voice are just kind of the most off track. You know, they're just going down places where they don't really belong, right? Where some of the things that are said in media and stuff, you just go, you know, is this helping our country? Is this hurting us? Mm-hmm. But the reason I even mentioned that, because it all comes back down to training leaders through value-based programs like Auburn has right now, which I believe will become contagious around the country. And that's what I'm hoping for you, Chris.
That will be a dream just because it's impactful. And everybody will be unique. Every organization has their own values. And we just got to stop outsourcing things and just look inside. And that's when culture is going to change and take root. And so everyone will be different.
Well, U.S. has a creed, you know.
Yeah,
we all started with a creed.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've embraced that creed. It's created a beautiful world for so many. And, you know, it's as we grow as a nation, as we evolve, we will embrace more and more, I believe, in this world and create a better world for everybody. That's what I know.
Amen to that.
Yeah. All right. The book is The Invisible Medal, and you can get that over there on Amazon. You can also get it on Chris's site there, which is the, you can, and he'll talk about this, theinvisiblemedal.com. There's also a brochure over there, Chris, that you wrote. I didn't want to leave that out. Okay. So tell me a little bit about that and what people can expect when they go to the website there.
Sure. I appreciate it, Ken. No, it's, there's a bookstore called Lulu Bookstore, and I love that because it's good for authors to just put some things out there. They don't have to go through the ISBN process and all that. But I thought, you know what? This is a pretty thick book that I have. What if I just wanted to do something smaller that would go with my keynotes? And so it is just chapter one out of my book, which is just The Invisible Medal. And it's just a fun little read. And, you know, I've decided I don't want to make any money off of it. I just want to sell it at cost. And so that's what it is, starting on February 16th. It's just the cost of it that I have to pay for printer costs to have it shipped to me is what is the cost for anybody else out there who wants it. It's about spreading the message. And so that's through Lulu. We could do that. If Amazon's great and the big book is out there, but I like this new idea I came up with through Lulu Bookstore.
I just love it. You know, friends, Ken Honda, he's the Tony Robbins in Japan. He's sold, I don't know how many, he more books probably than anybody in Japan, and in the personal development field. And his first book was a little pamphlet. I don't know if I told you this, but he gave it away for free, you know.
Yeah.
Gave away this cause, just gave it away. Gave away 100,000 of them, right?
Wow.
And that's when he was picked up by a major publisher, and they went, the rest is history for him.
How about that?
Yeah, so you never know. But thank you for giving that away. And they can go over to your site, again, theinvisiblemedal.com for my listening audience, and find the pamphlet and the book. The pamphlet is The Invisible Medal.
That's right.
And so I'm hoping my audience will go, I'm going to get that. I'm going to commit to giving away 365 invisible medals this year. Mm-hmm. And that's just one a day. Everybody can do one a day.
I love it. Love it. So,
all right, brother. Well, it's been good to have you, and I know you'll be back, you know, again and again is my prayer.
Thank you for being significant, Ken, and all the wonderful work that you do of spreading goodness to all of your listeners, and kindness and growth and courage. I just love everything that you're doing, and I'm happy to see you doing so well with it.
Thank you, man. Well, you're a big part of that in my life. I appreciate you, my friend. And thank you for all the work you're putting in the world and touching the lives that you're touching. And, you know, it's amazing. One life spiral, you know, you touch one life, they touch your life, they touch your life. It just spreads. It's like a virus, positive virus. So I'm glad you're in that with me. All righty. Well, thank you, Chris. And for all of you, I want to encourage you to do one thing. Like I said, go get Chris's book, get The Invisible Medal, and start offering those out to people that you love. From my heart to yours, I hope you continue to see the unseeable and know the unknowable and do the impossible. And you will, if you continue watching and passing the show on. Take care.